I'm going to talk today about email marketing, and it's almost an elephant in the room with internet marketing in that you know you're supposed to do it, but you're not quite sure how to, and you're not quite sure why you're not getting the response that everyone claims. So the traditional figure that's been bandied around since at least the last 10 years, probably longer, is that each subscriber is worth $1 a month, and that is... it's a finger in the air figure, and it's almost certainly wrong. Your mileage may vary. You might, each subscriber to you may be worth zero, or it may be worth tens or even hundreds of dollars. You don't know, and you can't use the average. It's actually quite meaningless. So we've got that out the way, and that's actually food for thought, because it means that you, until you do it and measure it, you actually really have no idea. But that leads us on to the next question, which is, why do email marketing? And that actually is, again, almost an elephant in the room. Everyone else is doing it. You're building a list. The logic is that Amazon downwards use it. The only people and big companies I know that don't use it on a regular basis are Google. Near enough, everyone else does. Facebook will send you friend requests. It'll send you how to use Facebook better. Amazon will send you stuff you've just bought or stuff you've looked at. Travel companies will send you latest deals, everything like that. So you kind of think, well, the big companies are doing it, I ought to. And yeah, maybe, but there's a cost involved. Sending an email is free in theory, but you need a service. So we're getting a little bit slightly out of my order, my running order, but we'll go with that. So my running order actually said why first, and we've sort of covered that. Why not? It's at its most basic, it's to keep in touch with your customers and potentially to sell them. Those two aren't necessarily the same. You might just want, if you're selling something intermittently, I don't know, if you're selling used cars or something like that, your customer's only going to buy every 2, 3, 4 years. But you need to make sure they think of you the next time they buy it, because otherwise it's a dim and distant memory, apart from the sticker that's peeled off on the back that says bought from wherever. And some products that we sell as internet marketers are intermittent purchases, the ones that you buy, the ones that are often quoted, the cure for whatever, that you can buy on ClickBank usually. In theory, if that works, that's a one-off thing. If it's a remedy that you need to buy extra stuff for, so they're buying the gunk from Amazon each month or whatever, that's different. But some of the things, if you get it right, in actual fact, in theory, you don't need to use. So you need to actually think on why you want to contact potential customers. And if you can't think of a reason for that, I'd question whether you actually need an autoresponder at this stage in your internet marketing career. I know it's sold as a must-have, but if you can't think of a reason to use it and all it's going to do is sit there and gather dust and cost you money, then think again maybe for a while until you have a use for it. Then we come on to the next in my running order, which is who to actually use. Now, again, lots of controversy on this. Some people are saying use your own server, run a program on it. That runs the risk very, very fast once you build up more than 100 or so emails of your server, your hosting company saying, excuse me, what are you doing? You're spamming people. Even if you're not, just by the quantity of emails going out. So lots of companies will have different limits, and they're often buried in the small print. Sometimes it's fair usage. Sometimes it's so many emails a day. Sometimes it's so many emails per hour, subject to what they call a burst rate. So you could send 100 in a minute, but if you're sending that consistently over 60 minutes, then the hosting company would freak. And quite often you need to delve really deeply into that. You'll usually find it in the search, but it usually isn't the first search you tried. So just be aware of that if you're thinking of going down that route. But the route that most people go is a hosted autoresponder. Now, that could be free, which is something like MailChimp, which gets used in a lot of businesses. If you're selling business, chances are they're probably using MailChimp because it's free. Free is awkward because free gets abused. Even with their controls in place, stuff will slip through and people will basically use it for purposes that MailChimp or whoever didn't want used. Okay, they've got a paid service as well, but free affects availability. How you can add subscribers affects deliverability, not availability. How you add subscribers will affect the deliverability of it as well. If you can just do like you can with MailChimp, just add them an email, and the only ones it won't allow are generic ones like info@ and a few others, but pretty much anything else, it could be Fred at that domain, it'll get through, it'll get accepted. Now that means that people are just potentially adding subscribers at will, and there's no guarantee the subscriber's checked any box or filled a form in or anything else. It might just give you a business card or just mention their email address on their website or anything else, and someone's added it to MailChimp or another free service. That will affect deliverability when the people getting those emails say, I didn't request that, and they'll hit the spam button or the unsubscribe button or whatever, but usually a spam button, because it's actually easier to hit the spam button in your internet browser or your web browser that you pick up your email in, or your program you pick up email in, than it is to click a little link to a website and then click the unsubscribe thing. It's two or three stages one way, it's one the other way, and it makes the problem go away either way, so you're going to choose the easiest option. Which leads us on to the paid companies. Now the two that get mentioned most are AWeber and GetResponse. There's not much between the two, they model on each other to a fair extent, and they vie for competition and whatever. AWeber's the one I use. It's the longest established. At the time of recording this, it's been going 15 years and is celebrating that. GetResponse isn't actually far behind. Either way, you pay a monthly fee for a set number of, maximum number of subscribers to be delivered, usually unlimited number of emails, because they know you're not going to send them an email every hour or anything like that. So unlimited in practice means a fair usage is already imposed, because you're not going to do anything different. The advantage with people like AWeber and GetResponse is that you can manage your subscribers, you can send them a series of emails over time. MailChimp you can't unless you pay them, so you're in the same boat there really. And you can also, with any of those, you can send out what's known as a broadcast, which goes to everyone on your list at a time you choose. So it's out of the sequence, but it's one that everyone gets. With AWeber and probably with GetResponse, you can also select a segment of your list if you're clever enough with selecting it. So you can say everyone that hasn't done something within the last 90 days or outside the last 90 days or whatever else you choose. There's lots and lots of different drill downs, and they've got tutorials on how to do that. So I would strongly recommend AWeber. That's who I use. There'll be a link below this audio that goes off there, because it's who I use, it's who I recommend, and I wouldn't recommend them if they weren't any good. I've used them for a very long time, probably over a decade, and they work, and they've got good customer service, so that's good. Next bit we're going to go on to is how to get subscribers. Now, various different ways. It used to be send a blank email to blah, you know, whatever email address it was. Now, that, back when I first started, that was pretty much the only way you'd get subscribers to your email list, because the forms on websites just, well, there were no tools to do them, so people didn't. Nowadays, all the autoresponder companies will give you the tools to make a very pretty looking form that you can put on your website any way you want, or pop up. AWeber and Co. doubts GetResponse do the forms, and they'll do them. They're unblockable by pop-ups, so they work. Most people just click X, but a few will actually subscribe. But the best way, generally, with an autoresponder fill-out form is to put something on your website and or put some kind of squeeze page on, so people go off and claim their free gift. And that's a lot of the how to get subscribers. Usually, even to get someone on an email list, you have to bribe them. There's other ways of doing it. There are schools of thought that you go 2, 3, 4, 5 pages on your website with a click, 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 and then the next one is, if you'd like to carry on reading this information, give me your email address. That I've not tested, but I know people who have, and that works. So that would be worth doing as well. We might do a separate tutorial on that and do a bit of a test and find out what happens, which gets more. The logic there is that you don't actually have to bribe them, because you already told them, shown them they're going to get good content. So you give them very, very good content, as you should anyway, and then basically continue doing so. But you've told them, you've been very upfront, and that, if you're trying to get an autoresponder list going quickly, that's probably a good way of doing it. Do 3, 4, 5 pages of content with a click, 2, 3, 400 words per page, click for more information, leave it a bit like an episode of 24 or a cliffhanger, so they'd like to click through to the next page, so you don't necessarily leave it mid-sentence, but certainly, and to find out a bit more, click on the button below. You know the pattern, very easy to do. And then, so once they got 3 or 4 or 5 pages through, thanks for reading this far. To get any further, click, give me your name and email address and I'll keep you in touch. I promise I won't spam you all the usual stuff that you put on those kind of pages. Or you can do a traditional squeeze page, which is give something away. They work, they're fine. You'll get maybe one out of every two who get to the squeeze page. If you target the thing to get them to the squeeze page first, if you target that right, then you'll probably get around about one in two sign up, and you can tweak that accordingly. And then you give them a free audio, a free MP, a free PDF, a free video, whatever else it was you promised them, and then you continue bombarding's the wrong word, but it's fairly close, sending them emails. And it's up to you what you ask for. Generally speaking, most people ask for a name and email address, certainly what I do. Some of the large companies, Agora, however you pronounce them, really big direct mail company, only ask for email address. The logic there being that the less people have to complete on the form, the more likely they are to do it, and they've got enough budget to test it, so that's probably correct. The negative of doing that is you can't personalise the emails as much, so you can't say, hi Mark, hi Fred, hi John, hi Joanne, hi Emma, whoever else it happens to be, in the email thing. Pluses and minuses on that. I don't think it makes an awful lot of difference, because I think most people are clued up enough nowadays to work out that the email is sent in bulk anyway. Next one that's quite a raging question in internet forums quite regularly is single or double opt-in. AWeber will default to double opt-in. What that means is that they'll put their name and email address in a box, then they'll have to click another link that comes through to their email to prove that they actually said yes. AWeber would prefer you do that. They'll claim it's to do with canned spam. Yeah, might be. But you can also set it to single opt-in, which basically means just click it on the web and it goes onto your list. Almost all my email lists are single opt-in. They have been for ages, because the more steps you put in the way of people, the more likely they are to not do it. That's my personal view. In terms of spam complaints, I don't seem to get that many. So test it, but my preference would definitely be single opt-in. Next up is what to send, and this falls into two parts. It falls into the headline subject and the actual body of the email. Now the headline, the subject line of the email, is quite important, because again, another elephant in the room with email, everyone thinks that their subscribers are going to read their emails religiously every single time they send one out, and they don't relate that to how they actually get emails in the real world themselves. And almost everyone I talk to, if you talk about email marketing, and they talk about, well, what do you do with the emails you get? And there's a bit of a pause while the penny drops. Because if you like almost everyone, you go through your inbox, it's overflowing, even though the spam's been filtered out by your whoever's providing your email service, or most of the spam's been filtered out, but you go through and you'll prioritise. A bit like in the days when you used to get lots and lots of direct mail, you'd stand over the bin and you'd bin the ones you didn't want to do anything else with. And that happens with email an awful lot more than it happened with direct mail, partly because there's more of it. And people will delete, probably not even reading the subject line a lot of the time. I know I don't. I'll look through, who sent that? Nah, not reading them at the moment. Delete, delete, delete. Why delete? Why not unsubscribe? Well, as I said earlier, unsubscribe takes more effort. Delete is one button. Unsubscribe is find out where the link is, and that's scroll right to the end of the email, so it's probably quite often a long email, so that's a long operation. Then click the link, then wait for the unsubscribe page to open. Then the better ones are a radio button where you pre-selected to subscribe, but you do unsubscribe, and sometimes it will take you off and assume you've clicked. Sometimes you have to click a button. Sometimes the ones I really hate are the ones that ask you to confirm your email address. Well, you've just given me a link, you know it. So those I just hit spam. This really can't be bothered. Or ones that you have to do it and then you have to fill out a capture. Well, I've just, no, you've just given me a link, don't give me a capture as well. So generally speaking, because of all that, and because a lot of people also think that if you unsubscribe, you'll actually get subscribed to something else and get response to offer you that chance. And other people will actually say, well, you've unsubscribed, but here's a free gift for resubscribing. And obviously some people sign up for that. So people fight shy of that. So it's just an order of magnitude easier to press delete. Even if you're doing that every time, even if someone's sending you one two, three emails a day, it's still easier to press delete than it is psychologically, maybe not in real life, but it's easier to press delete than it is to go off and unsubscribe. Always assuming they honour the unsubscribe. Again, there's occasional rants and raves where people have unsubscribed and still get the emails. Not with the major companies like AWeber or GetResponse, but with some of the minor ones that can happen. So you're passing that barrier, then you're passing the I've got 100 emails to read because I'm logged in for a couple of days, or half an hour, or whatever it happens to be, whatever your email acquisition rate is in your inbox. And then you'll filter which ones you're actually going to read based on the subject line, based on who from. And if you don't recognise the sender, chances are you probably won't read it. It goes to delete again. So if I signed up to you on a name, and then you send them from someone else's name, for whatever reason, maybe it's a generic list, or maybe you sent a broadcast to several lists, and one of them, if you're using pen names, one of you signed up as, I don't know, Amanda, the next is John, the next is whoever, and then but you're sending them all from one, people will more likely unsubscribe because they don't recognise you. So that comes into play as well. But the subject line. Now again, with internet marketing, we tend to do very cute subject lines. We'll put the first name in. Would you ever send an email to a friend with the first name in the subject line? Probably not. So if you wouldn't, why would an email you want to get opened have that? The logic is it's more personal, but I think that worked for a while. I'm not sure it works now. And then quite often, again, what would you send a friend? It would be reference last night's conversation, or fancy meeting up for a meal or a coffee or whatever else it happens to be, long time no speak, all sorts of different things, but it wouldn't be keyword laden subject lines. So just look at your email. If you've got a sequence, look at the actual subject lines and work out, is that something I'd click on to actually read the rest of the email? If it isn't, change the subject line and test it. Then you get into the actual body of the email. Now that's again quite fraught, because with AWeber and GetResponse and so on, you get the ability to track clicks, all well and good, but the trouble is that that gives you a link that says click at AWeber blah blah blah. So the link is obviously not one you'd send a friend. It's got a tracking number on it and all sorts of things like that. And again, that just doesn't work. Or at least it works, but it's, you know, it's an email, you know, it's an effectively advertising message. Now, if you've got a WordPress site, I'd strongly suggest that you actually make a clickable link on that, so that at least you've got your website slash go slash whatever the topic is, so that at least it looks like a normal link. And I'm doing that more and more often. It means I'm doing the tracking, not AWeber, but that's okay because I never remember to go in and check the stats, so it doesn't make a lot of odds. But again, sign up for your own list, work out whether what's coming through as the links to click and so on is correct in terms of would you click on it. And also read your emails. Are they coming through as a used car salesman and hyper-selly? Are they coming through as friendly, informative? Are they pretty much as you'd write to a friend? Because that's a very good test. If it's the kind of email you'd tap out to a friend, it probably reads quite well to a recipient. And that means you're free to digress. I don't do it as often as I ought to. I go off at tangents in conversations all the time, but I don't do it as much as I could in emails. And I kind of note to self I need to do that a bit more. Because it can be good. It adds a personality. And the words you use in an email will come out, your voice will come out in the email. So be careful what you do, and don't get too hypey. And be very, very careful about using other people's emails. It's very easy to get given a swipe file for a product you're promoting and just copy and paste it, but it's in their voice or their copywriter's voice or something else. It's not your voice. And if someone's actually reading your emails regularly, they'll spot that. If they're reading them regularly, which is probably more likely anyway, they may still spot it. There'll be something in the back of their mind thinking, how come yesterday was full of enthusiasm, today's were, and all sorts of different things in the middle. So just be careful about that, because that will come through and that will affect how people respond to your emails, whether they read them, whether they respond to them, and so on. Then we're on to how often to send an email. And the glib answer to that is as often as you've got something interesting to say. So if you've only got something interesting to say once a month, then it's monthly. It really is as seldom as that. And you might actually find, do a test on it, you might find that you get more response to that. You've got the danger that you don't get any response at all because they've forgotten who you are completely, but if you've built up a lot of trust beforehand, it might get a better response. And certainly some of the emails I get from two or three marketers are intermittent. One's sometimes every couple of days, but sometimes every couple of weeks. Another one is can go up to a month or two, and he actually gets emails saying, are you still alive? Because he sends out quality content, but only when it's when he's got something to say, and usually something to sell, but he'll give enough content around that to make it worth opening the emails. So how often to send is very awkward. And the other thing I'd say is when they've just joined your list, you've got pretty much send more often than when they've been on for a month or 6 months or a year or whatever. There is a tail off. You know from the ones you read, you're keen and enthusiastic on it, and then something else has happened in life. And that something else can be absolutely anything. And the final bit I'm going to cover is what if people aren't opening the emails? Now, opening is a figure that the autoresponder companies put in because they have to kind of give you stats to justify some of what they're selling or whatever, or they think they do, or people ask them, how many people are reading my emails? And what I open is a best guess as to whether people are opening an email, reading the email. Now, biggest snag on that is that that relies on what's known as a tracking pixel, and it is literally a one pixel by one pixel image that in theory gets loaded when the email gets opened. Now, I say in theory because almost every email program I've come across does not automatically download images, which means if it doesn't do that, and the default is it doesn't, so it probably won't, then no one knows. You haven't got a clue whether or not they've opened the email. And coming back to open rates, would you send a friend an HTML email or would you just tap out text? Most of the time you're just going to tap out text. So again, be wary about sending out HTML emails. A lot of formatting involved, a lot of effort involved for probably not much, probably just for something that says, hi, this is an advertising message, please read me. Text, boring, yeah, can't format it as much, no, okay. But will it get read more? Again, test it, but chances are, yeah. So a lot of things that people don't particularly touch in email marketing, but they should. And the reason they don't touch is that they're not necessarily the answers you actually want. They're not the answers you want to hear, definitely. And what you want to hear is, oh, everyone reads my emails as soon as I send them. They're all keen and enthusiastic, and every time I read, every time I send, they read it. And then they click on it, and then they buy from me. But in practice, they don't. And there's all those reasons and more. And you need to step back a little bit, look at your email as though you're receiving it from someone else, pretend it's from a different marketer, but put yourself on your email sequence, see whether you actually read your emails or whether you just press delete. You don't even check the links. That happens. Been there, done that myself quite regularly, because life gets in the way. You think, oh, it's probably okay, it was okay when I wrote it. But if that's your attitude, then it's actually not compelling enough for people to read. So have a strong think about that, and any that you find yourself just automatically deleting from yourself, customers are probably doing the same. Not the brightest note to leave on, but that's, I'm going to close this now. So any questions, drop me an email.